But that's also not to say that some of those ways of programming that are really straight ahead, right down the middle, are not also pretty dang attractive too. And that I'm thinking now of Elisa Weilerstein doing all six Bach cello suites. Seems like such a simple idea. Some cellists do this, but to have Elisa doing it is really, I mean, that's going to be fascinating. She just has this voice on the cello that's not like anybody else.
It's a really unique voice. I think it's going to be a wonderful sort of homecoming because obviously she has, you know, strong, deep connections in Boston and at Jordan Hall and New England Conservatory. The fact she's doing it all on one program is, I have to think of what the female equivalent to Herculean is.
right.
Most cellists would.
It's Amazonian, maybe, like Wonder Woman.
would put that over a couple of programs, but it's a real effort. But I think it's going to be fascinating to listen to both because of her sound and her interpretation, and you know the sort of doing it for her hometown.
Yeah, and then Beatrice Rana, a pianist, mm-hmm. is coming, getting back to Bach, actually kind of launched into a wider consciousness of a lot of us, including me, with the Goldberg Variations. Mm-hmm. That's not what she's doing here, but she's doing something pretty substantial, which is exciting, too.
The Firebird arrangement, Agosti, it's an arrangement of the Firebird Suite by Stravinsky. You know, the Firebird is an orchestral piece, and just imagine that as a piano piece, and it is indeed that difficult and that massive an undertaking. I think it's a terrific piece. It's a great arrangement. So alongside some Chopin etudes from Opus 25, I think she'll be both a revelation to folks who haven't seen her before, and it's a debut, so most Bostonians probably haven't, and in the intimate setting of Pickman Hall, I think it'll be a terrific concert.
Yeah, getting right at all those priorities and things that you talk about with allowing audiences to experience people that they would have to travel otherwise to hear. But then there's a trio of artists that are working together that individually they are each so brilliant, and that's Joshua Bell, Jeremy Denk, and Steven Isserlis doing a trio program. And as you even mentioned, Jeremy and his program before, so he's a familiar face around here. But in combination with these other guys, that's going to be a really just completely potent program.
I think it will be. I mean, just when I saw it and on paper, just as an idea, it was instantly interesting, and I'm eager to see it. Because I'm an admirer of all three of them, but I think it's an example, and I honestly do not know the history of how they got together, why they got together, but we've seen over the years some artists who are very comfortable playing with colleagues they played with for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
They're old friends. They're beloved of the audience. It's like going to someone's home again that you know it so well.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other artists who I think often want to challenge themselves with sort of a new voice who is different, who I don't know, and see how that pairing goes. Some of them may not work out. I'm sure they don't. And then sometimes when they do, they really want to, you know, continue to explore it. So I'll come back to this. But just last year, we had the trio also with Yo-Yo Ma and Manny Axe and Leonidas Kavakos.
Yes.
A terrific program and Brahms. But Manny and Yo-Yo, who've, you know, grown up together, spoke about they really didn't know Leonidas, and they had one concert and said, boy, this was fun. We should maybe consider doing something. Turned into a record project, turned into a tour. And they both were so enthused by how Leonidas's perceptions and even added ideas about the music really stimulated their own reconsideration of a piece they knew so well.
Yeah.
I get the same sense of, you know, Joshua, who's clearly concertizing on a worldwide level, for him to sort of say, no, I'm going to go in a different direction and really explore with some, again, when I say cerebral artists, that sounds, you know, not demeaning, but I don't mean it in the least sort of way. I think Jeremy is one of the most intellectual and interesting minds, original minds in art, period, you know, today.
Yeah.
And so I think their exploration of this and how they feel about it individually and collectively is absolutely worth listening to, and particularly it's such a great mix of a program.
Right. So that program, it looks like there's going to be Mendelssohn and Shostakovich, Rachmaninoff, and Ravel.
Yeah.
and two artists. I mean, we could go on for several hours talking about individual programs, but I just want to mention at least one more, and that's Itzhak Perlman and Evgeny Kissin, because these two guys come each alone with their built-in compelling attraction for just thousands of people. I mean, those two guys put together then just looks like. You know, no matter what the repertoire is, it's going to be a huge event.
I think so. And I think it's another example of two established artists who don't need to do this. No, in the sense that they can just book their recitals and go on, and concert halls are going to be very well sold.
Yeah.
But in the past couple of years, you know, Kissin has really been interested in chamber music. He's doing something with the Emerson. And then this. And so, and I think for Perlman, who I think Itzhak has, you know, doesn't need to do another recital concert on his own. I think this is a way of really stimulating him. I mean, he's got a wonderful accompanist, Sylvan Rojab. But I think, again, a little change sometimes can be energizing in a really positive way.
Yeah.
So I think at their level, it's going to be, you know, clearly the crowds will be there. But whatever they choose to perform, I think it'll be really interesting to sort of see how they relate to one another in the performance.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, just one more concert to mention, because it's kind of in that same category, but just maybe a different generational category, which is Gauthier Capuçon and the cellist with Yuja Wang. Yuja also is sort of like what you're saying with Kissin. I mean, she has wanted to take on more chamber collaborations in the last few years rather than just being an orchestral or recital soloist.
She has. I think a very strong intellect, a really good thinker about her career, the business, knowing that she is, I've read an interview where she talked about, you know, I can't be the new young thing forever in terms of, and she's been concertizing now for quite some time. And so that's what I mean about having our audience watch an artist evolve over the arc of their career. What interests them? Is it the same piece? Is it new music? Is it different music? Is it different artists? You know, how does that change? How does it circle back to where it started? All of that, I think, is fascinating, knowing that these artists will probably, you know, be on our radar for another 10, 15 years.
Sure.
So I think, you know, at this young age and when they're going into the chamber music, and it really is a duo concert, I mean, with both doing the works, you know, I think it's great. And then certainly, you know, hearing something like the Franck, which we all know, but I've never heard her play it or, you know, haven't heard them play it. So I think it'll be terrific.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Gary, thanks so much. You know, the season, as always, and we didn't even get to any of the non-classical things.
Yes.
We'll leave those for the website and people to explore. But fantastic dance and non-classical events and things going on. So I really appreciate you coming in and talking about at least this part of it. So thanks a lot.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.